The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. The sermon for today is based on the epistle lesson, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. And I'll just read again the opening verses. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. O Lord, sanctify us in your word. Your word is truth. Amen. John the Baptist features prominently during Advent as he prepares the way for the arrival of Jesus at Christmas time. We don't hear much about John's life other than that he was soon arrested because of his criticism of the royal family, the family of King Herod. No doubt John would have felt disillusioned about this predicament, because Jesus was the promised one sent by God, who was going to free Israel from the tyranny. He was the one they were all waiting for. John even recognised this, that in order for Jesus to do this, he had to step down and give Jesus room. And he said, I must decrease so that Jesus can increase. And perhaps this is why John was so brazen in his criticism of Herod, knowing that Jesus had now arrived. But never had John wouldn't have thought that his life would end up the way it did. Imprisoned, and now his head was on the chopping block, literally. John, feeling a bit of disillusion, calls his disciples to himself and asks them to go to Jesus, just to double check that he had his facts correct about Jesus. So the disciples go to Jesus with the question, are you the one we're expecting, or should we be looking for someone else? You can understand why John might have been having trouble giving his situation. And you could understand why John's disciples might have continued the doubts after coming to collect the body after he'd been beheaded. Maybe you've been in John's situation, not literally, but maybe you've had some doubts about whether Jesus is really the one, or should you be looking for someone else? Should life be better? Should life reflect more of our faith and dedication to God? How can we be sure that Jesus is the one and that we should not be expecting another? St. Paul answers that in several ways to reassure us that it's not about our experiences but about God's plan for us that has been in place long before we were born. The first thing Paul says is that God does indeed have a plan for us, and it's been in place longer than we realise. He says that God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Yes, did you hear that when the plan first began? Before the foundation of the world. While this world looks like it's out of control at times, with storms and wars and other natural disasters, it looks like God's not in control. But we are assured that God, who created and formed the world, knows it all, and that he has blessed us in the heavenly places and chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Let's not for one moment think that God is not in control, even when it looks like he's not. Surely it seemed that way to John the Baptist. The next thing Paul tackles is about who we are. Identity is a major problem in today's world, whether it's to do with gender, sexuality, or status. Paul says that John has destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ. And Paul talks about how much he loves us as his children. He has adopted us according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he has freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. God has adopted us as his very own children. And Paul says that God holds nothing back from us. He says that he lavishes his love and grace on us. And if you know parents that have adopted a child, they love that child and lavish everything on that child, just as God does for us. Maybe at times it feels like our life hasn't got any purpose, that we're just not getting anywhere in life, that we're on the road to nowhere. But Paul says that we have been marked with the seal of God's promise by giving us his Holy Spirit. And this mark of the Holy Spirit is our pledge of our inheritance to the praise of his glory. And with that pledge, it means that no one can challenge or contest that inheritance. This really is incredible to digest, especially when you look in the mirror and wonder, what on earth could God possibly love about me? But the difference is that when what God sees and what we see are two different things. God sees himself as we have been created in God's image. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, we are God's masterpieces. How comforting and reassuring that God has chosen us. We don't choose whether or not we are of any value to God. The world doesn't choose whether or not we're of any value. God has chosen us. And he chose us from before the formation of the world. I wouldn't choose me, but thank God literally has. God chose me, and he's chosen you. Our greatness is not prepared for this life. In fact, after Jesus sent his disciples back to him to assure him that everything was going according to plan, Jesus tells the crowd that greatness is not achieved here in this life, but in the life prepared for us in heaven. Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of woman, There has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John was a great prophet here on earth, none greater. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is still greater than he is, because that is where true greatness is achieved. As Christians, we can indeed achieve greatness in this lifetime. We can be successful in business. We can be well respected. But as John discovered, that greatness can also be removed by the very one who gave us that greatness. Many people have experienced their worldly greatness ripped away from them. As their business struggles, they fall into financial difficulties, people lose their employment, and sadly some their homes and their marriages because of stress. But with God, the greatness he gives us is signed, sealed, and delivered by the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Amen.